Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Black Brick by Dan Decker. Hello, and welcome back to the podcast. This week we are continuing to read Black Brick. Last week we read... A chill ran through me. Why had I not seen it before? Peck had set me up. That tape had not just been a coincidence. Peck had chosen to single me out in class and recorded the conversation for a reason. Was Peck going to run for office? On another topic, the anchorwoman said, I understand you're being considered to replace Vargo as CEO of Digon. Would you care to comment? What? I said aloud to an empty room. Maybe it wasn't about politics at all. Had Beltran been targeting Digon so that Peck could take over? Peck's smile became somber. I would prefer to not comment on that. Vargo was a close personal friend of mine. The interview ended and I muted the television. The coincidences had piled on. The house of cards that Peck had so elaborately spent years building was tumbling down, but I was the only one that could see it. It all came back to Peck. I paced as I tried to think. Peck had done this on purpose. He had as good as painted a target on himself. Did he want me to come after him? How would that further his agenda? I paced for hours until my legs began to hurt. By the end, I was tired of hiding. I needed to act. Finally, just as the sun was coming up, I decided on a plan. It was time that my story was heard. And now? 29. Taking a deep breath, I let it out and I checked the hidden camera on the pin in my shirt pocket. I was outside of Peck's class and my insides were churning with fear and trepidation. Shannon would be on the other side, playing the part of my shell-shocked ex-girlfriend, Jessica. I touched the fire alarm panel. Chris would be there as well. She was so confident that I would do her bidding. Hopefully today would disabuse her of that notion. Thor would probably be in attendance as well. I still did not know if he somehow fit into all of this or not. I just wanted to make sure he had left before I went in. Looking around to make sure the way was clear, I broke the glass that protected the fire alarm with my elbow and pulled down on the lever. A moment later, the alarm sounded and lights started flashing. It took several seconds before students began to empty out of the classroom doors. Leaning up against the wall by the door, I kept my eyes peeled for whoever would come through the exit first. Depending on who it was, I would have to react quickly if they recognized me. My guess was that Chris or Thor would be the first person I would spot as the students evacuated the classroom. Shannon sat in the back and would be coming out last, and I was counting on Peck waiting to make sure the room was cleared successfully. As people began to file out, I pulled the ball cap that I was wearing down a little lower. In all the confusion, nobody seemed to notice me. I was relieved when Thor walked out the door, chatting amiably with another girl from the class. He looked my way, but his eyes went right on past. One day I would have to solve the puzzle he posed, but not today. When Chris came out, I ducked my head a little and hoped that she would not notice me. One of the major flaws in my plan was the fact that she had seen me since I had changed appearances. That was why I was sporting a ball cap today. Despite my efforts, she noticed me right away. The startled look that crossed her face made me smile. I could not help it, and the glower I received in return made me grin all the more. "What are you doing?" Chris hissed, moving out of the crowd to stand beside me by the wall. "Changing the game," I said. "Whatever you have planned, it won't work. Don't follow me in there." I stared into her eyes, afraid she would be too curious to walk away. "You won't like what will happen if you do." Without waiting for an answer, I clicked the top of my pen, turning on the camera, and pushed through the doorway of people filing out. I had to jostle my way through, but nobody took notice of who I was. Once I was in, I surveyed the room and was happy to see that it was more than 2/3 empty. As I suspected, Shannon was standing in the back, waiting for her turn to exit, and Peck was at the front of the room waiting for the classroom to empty. I was happy to see that my recollection was correct, and there was a television hanging on the wall. I had not been able to remember for certain, but I had not been too worried. That was not a key part of my plan today. My eyes locked onto Shannon's, and I smiled wickedly. There was a moment of uncertainty until she recognized me through my disguise. This was not going to go well for her. Her only opportunity to stop what would come next would be to play it cool. Part of me had been hoping for a look of contrition or guilt from her, but instead she met my stare, head held high. Chris appeared by my side as the rest of the room emptied, and I cursed. "Stay if you want," I whispered as quietly as I could, hoping the pin camera would not pick it up. "But don't blame me if your cover is blown." Chris hesitated before whispering back, "What are you going to do?" "Stay behind me," I said. It was not until the last few people were filing out that Peck noticed me and realized who I was. I nodded my head at him, turning to the side to keep what I was doing out of view of the stragglers, and I pulled out my pistol. Chris gasped, but did not try to interfere. It was too bad that she had decided to stick around. Her very presence would tip off Shannon and Peck that she was somebody they needed to look into. Once the room was empty of everybody but the four of us, I kicked the door shut and looked at my watch. So far, I was a little ahead of schedule. In about 2 minutes, an email that I had put together would be arriving in the inbox of every journalist for whom I had been able to track down an address. In addition to containing the link to a video that I'd made earlier this morning with a confession, it had another link to a live feed of the video from my pen. My guess was that I had 15 minutes at most before I needed to think about getting out of here. I had parked a rental car outside of this building earlier to ensure a smooth getaway. I'd luckily found a spot in the faculty parking and knew that they'd just give me a ticket, not tow the car. "Shannon," I said, while keeping my pistol on Peck, "how about you come down here and join us?" Peck gave a slight nod of his head before she came down the stairs of the classroom. "We are here to talk about your betrayal." Shannon glared at me and kept silent. "Oh, that's right. Peck, if you would turn off your camera, I think it would go a long way to making everybody a little more candid." "Think about what you're going to do," Peck said as he walked to the front of the room and pressed several controls at his podium. "The camera is off." He looked at me. "I can help you." "Great," I said, ignoring his offer. "Do we all feel free to talk?" "I almost forgot. Empty your pockets, Shannon." I looked at Peck. "You too." I pointed my pistol at Shannon. "Don't forget those throwing knives you keep strapped to your inner thighs that I learned about the hard way." Shannon tossed several pistols and a couple of knives to the floor. "Perfect," I said. "Kick them towards me." "Your turn, Peck," I said once Shannon had followed my instructions. "I don't carry a weapon." Of the two, Peck was the most relaxed. His composure had not broken, and he seemed to be detached. "Chris, find out for sure." I shifted my gun to Shannon, and in the process, hopefully, shifted the camera to not pick up Chris. After a lengthy pause, Chris moved forward and patted Peck down and came up empty. I was surprised, and a little bit frustrated. That did not help. Shannon was exposed by the weapons. I just needed something to break Peck's cover. I had Chris pat Shannon down next, again shifting my pistol back to Peck, and moving the focus of the camera as well. It was the best I could do. Chris found a knife and a small pistol. "It's time for a council," I said, after tossing Chris my bag and instructing her to put the weapons in there. "I'm in trouble. That isn't my fault. And you're going to help me out of it." "This is not helping," Shannon hissed. "How long before the other students come back and figure out what's going on?" I stared at Shannon and considered questioning her about her betrayal, but decided against it. I would not get anything from it, and it would not make me feel any better. "Martinez never defected," I said to Peck. "Did he?" Shannon scowled. "Don't think for 1 minute that I would work with that animal." "Thank you, Shannon." I refrained from looking at the pin and hoped that it was working. "Was that Shannon's final test?" I persisted. "Torture at the hands of a supposed madman? So she could prove her devotion?" "Son, I think you've mistaken me for somebody else." There was not any fury in Peck's voice. "Put the gun down, and I'll do what I can for you." Was Vargo's assassination my test, or was I set up to be the guy that everything was blamed on once the testing was over? I was greeted with silence. I'd expected that Peck would be a tough nut to crack, but I was not done yet. I had one last try. "I figured it out, you know," I said to distract him while I reached my hand into my pocket. "Your plan? Killing my parents so you can recruit me?" "I do not know what you're talking about," Peck said. I had to give him credit. He really did look like he knew nothing. If anything, my little stunt here was going to make him look better. Time for my last trick. I took out the picture of Beltran at the mass grave and pushed it into Peck's face. "What is this?" Peck asked, his composure breaking into horror when he looked at the photograph. His reaction was perfect for somebody seeing it for the first time. "Who are these men?" Peck was good, and I was running out of time. Well, one of two covers blown was not bad. I took out the pen and clicked the top and tossed it to Shannon. You of all people should have known better. Catching the pen, she picked up on what I meant and she snarled. It was not supposed to go like this, Jake. You have no idea what you've done here. Peck looked a little smug, making me wish that I'd thought to bring a second camera. He had not said anything damning, but if I'd captured that smile and he continued his press circuit, he would have faced an uncomfortable question or two. Chris, I said, would you be so kind to turn on the television and find a news channel? Any should work fine. Chris did as I asked and found a channel. When I saw my face, I smiled. It was the first time I'd been happy to see it on television. We'd come in on the tail end of the video I'd distributed earlier in the email. My fellow citizens, my recorded image said, I don't ask for your forgiveness, for there is none to give. The inescapable fact is that I am tied to numerous events where innocent people lost their lives. It is immaterial that I was not the one that pulled the trigger, that killed Vargo, or that I did not plant the bomb on the train. I was there, and it happened while I was on duty. I believed that I was serving our country, though you now know I was duped. My real name is Jake Ramsey. I was kidnapped on the day that my parents were killed. I do not offer this as an excuse, but as evidence. If law enforcement starts there, they may be able to stop this menace. The video ended and the news anchor came back on screen. It was the woman that had interviewed Shannon. We have just received an additional data feed that has partially confirmed Sam Cheever's story. We cannot show the video yet, but I can confirm that we have live video footage of Jessica Prosser armed to the teeth, responding to the name Shannon and calling Sam by the name of Jake. Shannon screamed when a picture of her own was shown. Peck was there as well, but they zoomed in on her. I hoped that I had managed to keep Chris off the feed. It's been a fun meeting, hasn't it? I looked at Chris. I'm leaving now. I recommend you come with me. Shannon snarled and might have said something, but I was not able to make it out. Peck stared at me coldly, but did not say a word. I could tell that he knew he could survive this because he had not slipped up. Peck had probably already formulated a plan on how he would spin this. I had been hoping to implicate Peck to turn the attention off me, but I had failed. I would have to try something else. I motioned for Chris to head to the door. She complied with my requests. I backed away until I was at the exit. With a final look at Shannon, I turned and left. That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com and you will receive a free ebook. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LC.